This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Betches Media presents.
I would like to speak to America's men for 1 minute.
That slacker barista.
I start getting full of emotion.
Now we're going to build this new bridge here.
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't.
Betches Up Podcast.
Like, how are people surviving?
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Sammy Sage.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics, which, as of Thursday midday, is unfortunately not Donald Trump's arrest. How have we been passing the time, gal? Sammy, we'll start with you, since we haven't heard from you for a bit.
You know, I've just been deep into the Vanderpump Rules scandal. You know, if we're not going to get a president arrested for the many investigations he could potentially be arrested for, I'm gonna dig into some other malfeasance, and it's gonna be that between Tom Sandoval and Raquel Leviss. But you know, honestly, it's frustrating, this whole Trump thing, because he kind of like made up this Tuesday arrest, and now we're all like, he set the window on Tuesday, and it was never gonna be Tuesday. So
that's the thing
we got fooled.
That's the thing that's been getting me, is I'm like, how many times am I going to let this man break my heart? Why? Like, of course, as the moment he said Tuesday, by like the transitive property of like shit Trump says, it was never going to be Tuesday. Like, there was no way that it would be true. So now I just feel like, yeah, I feel like I'm like, would we even have had any idea really that the investigation was this serious or what was coming if he had not truthed about this?
I think that we would have heard reporting, because he basically, what I understand to have happened is that he heard that the DA in New York was meeting with law enforcement in New York to figure out like the logistics of an indictment. So I think, and that meeting was supposed to, I believe, be like Tuesday or yesterday, or it's like ongoing. And I think what he did is that he heard this was happening and he knew he had to preempt it by saying, I'm getting indicted. And he gave Tuesday because he wants to make people freak out. And if you said like next Friday, it's just a little too far.
Yeah.
But it was never going to be Tuesday, because they were hearing from a witness yesterday, Monday. It just was never, you know,
it was never going to be Tuesday.
It was never going to be Tuesday.
I think that. Well, I do think that he I don't think there's a ton of like thought behind what he posts, but I do think he posted it to like rile people up for sure, and like rile his people up, like,
yeah,
the way he tweeted before January 6th and shit. Yeah, I feel like if he hadn't tweeted that, especially because I'm writing the newsletter every day, I would have been like, oh, a lot is going on. Maybe, like, I think we would have definitely still been talking about like the case on the podcast probably, but it wouldn't have felt like, oh, is he going to be arrested momentarily?
Right. And he said this over a weekend, as if that, like, as if the majority of his supporters can like afford a plane ticket to New York City in the next 2 days. It's like, I would think, like, to be honest, one of the great successes of January 6th is that he gave them a lot of lead time and they made plans. And this time he was just
they were able to get organized.
It was just a little off brand. I mean, did you guys see that even Ali Alexander was like, not this time, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, apparently there was concern that it was going to be a trap, because many of them did get arrested from January 6th. But here's the thing, you're worrying about a plane ticket. All they have to do is come in on the LIR from Long Island.
Gosh, there's plenty of them there.
It's $20.
Yep. Yeah.
They're good.
Sadly, we did lose the house through New York, so they are closer than I like to believe.
Staten Island Ferry just filled with
like over capacity.
The ferry is just bobbling.
Yeah, maybe that's how you take out the Trump supporters. An overflowing ferry. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. An overflowing Staten Island ferry.
Well, we don't have many more details about the arrest than we did last time you checked in on Monday. Yesterday's grand jury meeting was canceled, and members were asked to be on standby today. I mean, should we read into that cancellation, or is this really just the pace it was always going to take?
Like, I feel like it makes sense that the DA's office could have contacted the, like, the law enforcement agencies, like, with a fair amount of notice to make sure things were ready. But, I mean, I guess we saw, like, the barricades this week. Do we think that the timeline changed this week? Or do we think that, like, honestly, we've just been making a fuss over something that has been on the same schedule it always was?
I think it's a combination. Mm-hmm. The barricades, I think, were because of his tweet.
Yeah,
the truth or whatever. I can't count.
He truth. It.
I'm just going to call it a tweet. Like, we know what we're talking about. I think that's why the barricades are there. Plus, yeah. I think they would have put the barricades anyway, once there was like a clear timeline for indictment. I think it's possible it changed, but not because of him. Like, I think it's changed because it changes. Because that's how grand juries work. You get a new witness. You need a rebuttal witness. You need to change the schedule. You need to, what's his name? Someone on NBC, I think it was Garrett Hake, was saying, like, it could be that someone got COVID.
Totally.
It could be that it was something totally irrelevant. I don't necessarily think that that's likely, but I also don't think that he was going to be arrested on Tuesday and then wasn't. I think they weren't ready to arrest him yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely, like, when I heard that the hearing for yesterday was postponed, there was definitely part of me that was like, oh God, did, like, he successfully interfere somehow in this? But I don't think that, honestly, there has been enough fallout for it to, like, dramatically change what was already going to happen in this case. Like, if people had stormed the New York, like, city court or something, maybe, and then he was like, it's postponed, maybe it would be different. I mean, obviously, like, Republican politicians are against it and they're talking about it. But it's also like there is not, as far as I can tell, a enormous outcry about this trial as of right now. Maybe if he got indicted, that would be different. I'm sure, like, if he actually gets indicted, we're going to see the other side do something. But, yeah, you can go.
I think what's concerning, Becca, whoever's editing. Yeah. I think what's concerning, though, is that the House Republicans, starting with Kevin McCarthy, they're all now calling Alvin Bragg like a Soros-backed DA. So now we're getting, I mean, it's not actually that common that you have Soros dog whistles coming from actual elected officials. Usually those stay on, like, message boards. Mm-hmm. I do think that, because obviously, like, Soros-backed DA is going to apply to Fani Willis, too, you know, whenever her thing comes out. And Trump's lawyers actually filed a motion in that case that they just shouldn't release the report from that grand jury. So I think right. All that this did was give them, like, sort of the starting gun to start their next thing, which is that these are Soros-backed DAs who are, like, after Trump for political reasons. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's this, like, kind of random Stormy Daniels thing, I think that that would be more believable for that reason. But I don't know. Where are the insurrection consequences?
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, like, we were talking about, like, how we're going to cover this. And it's like, we could just do a slideshow of other things he could have been arrested for. That's a mix of, like, the insurrection and, like, his terrible blending job and and whatever. Yeah. But for now, we will have to just settle with, I don't know. I've been really enjoying these terrible AI arrest images. They're
oh my God.
So funny. We're looking at just Google it at folks at home, but it's just like really melodramatic pictures of NYPD grabbing at Trump and Don Jr. and Melania just sobbing beside him, which is definitely not going to be the scene we're going to see. I mean, he's just going to look like how he always looks and we're only going to see a mugshot. We're not going to get a perp walk, or do you think we will?
I think he might want to do a perp
interesting,
walk.
Interesting. I've heard that, but
he does want to, or at least according to the New York Times this week, he, like, wants to, because he thinks, well, he's like thinking, the article was like that he's really thinking about, like, what he'll do, if he'll wave, if he'll wink, like, that's how so he'll funny. Behave himself, but also that he kind of does want it because it'll be this whole big crazy spectacle thing. My note for these AI images is there's no world in which Melania is present or crying. I don't think there's a world where she would testify.
She
in
really
his defense.
Does not care.
No. They have not talked. No, this is about an affair. Since they walked out of the White House. She is not going to be there in any fucking capacity.
Oh, absolutely not.
I could, what you were saying, Elise, about like how he's deciding if he's going to like wink or wave or whatever. I was actually thinking that about the mugshot. I was like, is he going to look pissed or is he going to do a huge smile? Mm-hmm. Because no matter what he does, everybody's going to talk about it.
Yeah. I can't believe that that is in our future. Right.
Yeah. I think they're technically not supposed to let you smile in a mugshot. Like the rule is you're really not supposed to be smiling.
Yeah. And how do you know, Elise?
Really,
yeah.
Smile. Listen, he doesn't really smile in photos. All of his like official portraits are like, yeah, that dead on.
I'm having
like
a hard time picturing his teeth.
No, oh, there they okay. are, yeah. The only time he's ever smiled was in the photo with Sergey Lavrov in the Oval Office
most genuine
in 2017.
Smile.
That is his smiliest photo. Also the one with Kim Kardashian with the that's
oh,
not
yeah.
the one with the burgers. There's the one with the burgers. He smiled in that one too. He smiled with Kim Kardashian and he smiled with Sergey Lavrov.
His smile is like quite childlike. It's very eerie.
A lot of teeth.
Well,
straight teeth.
We'll be eagerly awaiting that, tapping our fingers. But I just, yeah, I hope it doesn't drop on like a Saturday afternoon after I'm day drinking or something. Or maybe I do, you know, just take to the platforms and react.
I could see it. I see it as like an early morning thing.
Mm, yeah, that's actually true. Definitely. Okay, let's move on to You Heard It Here Second, our news segment. So you heard it here second that TikTok CEO is on a charm offensive in DC this week, culminating in his testimony before Congress as we speak about potential security concerns for Americans who use the app. I'm excited to talk to you guys about this. So far, too, the CEO has made a number of promises about TikTok security, saying that ByteDance, the parent company, is not an agent of China or any other country, and they vowed to firewall the U.S. users' data from unauthorized foreign access. And so far, Republicans have blamed the app for fentanyl coming in from Mexico. 150 million Americans have a TikTok account. That's half of us. It's the most downloaded app in the U.S. Like, I have friends who don't have the app yet, and they're sending me reels 3 months later. And it's just like, how do you not have the app? It is you. You got to get the app. TikTok's parent company is ByteDance. It's a Chinese company, which is subject to Chinese law, that it would have to turn over all their data to the Chinese government if asked. And some say that that government could also order the app to collect data that it just needs for its purposes. Like, okay, you have a tracking device on all these people. This is what we need. Or that they could take control of the algorithm in nefarious ways. So kind of on the other hand, social media platforms themselves are not famous for being responsible with algorithms. And there are tech and security experts who say that in terms of data collection, TikTok doesn't pose much bigger of a threat than other apps. Like, it's picking up a lot of the same data, but of course a foreign government could have access to it. But again, some of those experts say that the Chinese government can get all of our data if it wants it bad enough. Like, they will do it. They can get it. They've been responsible for big hacks before. So I think before, you know, we get to the political will to ban TikTok, let's kind of talk about the nature of the threat itself. Do you guys buy that TikTok is more dangerous than the other apps and needs to be need to give more serious consideration to banning it than things like, you know, Instagram and Twitter and YouTube?
I do think it is more dangerous. And it's not because of the data that it's collecting. Like you said, they are collecting our keystrokes. They have everything. It's more dangerous
so
because what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
The difference is that it is a foreign government that is an adversary. That's a competitor. And the way that that country is structured, they don't even need to ask like that nicely. Like the company cannot fight giving the data if they ask for it. Firewalling it off in Texas or wherever they're saying they were going to firewall it off is not going to work because they still are owned by a Chinese a Chinese tied company. So the government can still ask for it. And honestly, I don't think the danger is necessarily, it's not like imminent in the fact that like, oh, tomorrow, like we're going to all have this like big national security, like blackout because of it. I think it's more dangerous in like, as a long-term propaganda tool to change the perceptions of Americans. Mm. Like, for example, in this podcast, we are pro-America, but we say a lot of really critical things about America in it. So TikTok doesn't need to like create propaganda. All they have to do is like elevate the critical America stuff or whatever point they want to make, elevate that, suppress the things they don't want you to know about America. Like, let's say they want to make capitalism the devil. Mm-hmm. Not that hard. You just don't surface things that are like anything positive about capitalism, and you surface things that are not. So it's the fact that they can have such a really, really strong aggregate effect on like the general attitudes of Americans that is, I think, the most dangerous thing that we're facing with them.
Yeah. And again, 150 million of us all subject to the things that Sammy just said.
Yeah, I feel really similarly about the dangers too. It's like, it's not really about the data collection itself. It's really more about the algorithm and their ability to like manipulate the algorithm to do certain things. Like you already like can't talk about a lot of stuff on TikTok. There's like a whole world of weird like
language that people use.
There's like weird censored language that you have to use on TikTok to talk about a lot of things. And like if you were to try to talk about like the one China policy or Taiwan or anything that they don't like, literally the video will be removed by TikTok. So that's already going on. And just kind of on a basic level, like obviously the algorithms are already nefariously manipulated in certain ways. But the last time a foreign government that was adversarial to the U.S. used social media to mess with us, Donald Trump was elected the president of the United States. Like, it's actually with TikTok becoming as popular as it is, kind of, I mean, everyone can see that it's on the trajectory to become the biggest app that everyone is on, even if it's not there now. Like, there's just like real potential for major damage and stuff. And like, we have already seen, again, what Russia was able to do just by using Facebook and like knowing about Facebook. Imagine if they owned Facebook and operated it themselves. So that is definitely, I think, what the biggest like actual threat from TikTok is.
You just gave me a chill, Elise.
Yeah.
Oh, yikes. Yeah, I think the algorithm is something that the CEO is being pressed about a lot today. Specifically, like even, you know, Black creators have said for a long time that they feel like their content is suppressed. And I've noticed it, like people that just don't blow up as quickly in terms of followers as others. And it's because that, yeah, there are terms that are suppressed. If you put abortion in something, nobody's going to see it. You got to spell it weird. You have to spell everybody saying segs.
Yeah. Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah.
It's like if everything is the eggplant emoji. Anything.
Right. Right. So, you know, let's look at what – is there anything that TikTok could kind of do to reassure people on the algorithmic front?
The only thing TikTok can do is spin it to an American owner. That is the only thing they can do, because the threat is – and again, this is not meant to sound xenophobic. The actual threat is the tie to the Chinese government. Not to Chinese owners, like people who are Chinese citizens. It's the fact that they have to legally respond to the government. So that's honestly my prediction. I think there's going to be a lot of like contention. I think they're going to act like they won't spin it. But then I think at the 11th hour, when it's either going to actually be banned, if we could even get to that point, mm-hmm. which I kind of doubt, if there's actually a chance of it being banned, that would get them to spin it. But I don't know if our government will even be able to get to that kind of consensus that it would force them to do that.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, if they can continue to message, which it seems like what they're doing, to the users, like, you need this, this can't be banned, such that politicians are just no longer motivated to do anything. And that's kind of what we can look at now. So there are a number of proposals to ban or limit TikTok in Congress right now. There's one that would kind of like, I like the one that would let Gina Raimondo, the Commerce Secretary, just kind of like ban it if she needed to, like if something really intense happened. I'm just,
by then it would be too late.
That's very true.
That's the thing.
That's very true.
She probably won't even be the person in that position anymore by the time that happens.
That's true. So a group of federal agencies has also recently told the company that it must sell itself to an American owner in order to operate long-term in the U.S. I don't think they've given a specific timeline, and that would not be a fast process. But TikTok has a different proposal. They have said, like Sammy mentioned, that they can simply store American users' data here in the U.S. to safeguard it, and that is not super convincing. Also, there are just questions about, you know, again, if this would effectively prevent our data from the Chinese government. And I was just reading more about, like, what would actually happen if this app went away. And you could probably find workarounds. Like it could require even the Apple Store to like work even harder to keep it out of people's hands. I can already see like a Twitter video with 100 million views just telling you how to get it back or how to safeguard it. And then people are using it anyway. A group of creators supported by a few Democratic members of Congress, they were at Capitol Hill yesterday to raise the alarm. Under the desk news, V. Spehar was there. Some of these creators have also been tapped by the White House to help share their policy messages, which is interesting. So they really, I know V brought that up. Like, I have letters from the White House telling me how meaningful my work is, and they are also part of the effort to potentially make that go away. So this sort of brings me to something I've been thinking about a lot. Gen Z and millennials, I think it's going to be like 40% or more of the voting bloc in 2024. I think they are definitely big users, although I think something TikTok's trying to point to is like, no, it's all Americans. It's not just young people that use this. But if there is a ban on TikTok under a Democratic president, do you think voters would punish Democrats in 2024? And do you think that will affect their will to intervene here?
I think it would suppress engagement, to be honest. Like, I think you'd get a lot of people who are just like, there are more people. Are there more voters than there are people on TikTok? Or it's kind of similar, right?
It's about gotta be similar. Pretty similar. I mean, I feel like turnout doesn't really exceed 50% most places.
Yeah. So they're pretty close. I feel like there would be a lot of people who, like, the only thing the government did for them lately is not cancel their student debt, although they said they would, but they don't
exactly.
They don't know how that happened. And ban TikTok.
I mean, this is what I know, that the people in the party are, that is the doomsday scenario. I mean, not doomsday in terms of a policy outcome, but a political doomsday is like, that's not great. That doesn't look great. He didn't cancel my student loans after he said he would, and now I can't use TikTok. Even though that's not a fair claim.
I think that it definitely would put a bad taste in the mouth of young voters. But young voters are also kind of this interesting age group where it's like, we still really need to get like youth turnout up. Millennials and Gen Z were better than like any generation before them as far as like voting younger, but they still aren't as big of a group as like the fucking boomers and shit
who
actually
reliable.
Do. As far as I know, conservative people, and especially like conservative boomer retirement age people, think TikTok is stupid, don't see why you shouldn't ban TikTok. They're very like susceptible to the arguments of like why it should be banned. So I guess it would be like, would it be motivating enough for young voters to like come out and punish Democrats at the polls specifically, when I do feel like young voters also aren't particularly willing to like vote for Republicans either? I mean, they would stay home.
Right, right.
Republicans are pro-banning TikTok, too.
Well, that's
they're
the thing.
Actually
it's not,
started
it's,
this.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't get blamed for it. Honestly, I don't think this is going to become a problem, because I think that the executives at TikTok are like capitalists. They have billions of dollars on the line collectively, and they're not going to want to lose their billions of dollars so that they can like help the Chinese government. And I really, really can't see a situation in which they don't ultimately spin this to a different company. And I know you said it would take a while, but it actually wouldn't take a while, because I promise there are companies right now that are like testing that possibility.
Well, I mean, for it to like be banned, like I feel like the government's going to give them some time. But yeah, but that's interesting to note that the process could happen really quickly.
I have a feeling that they're already exploring like, if this did happen, who would be the buyer? The government is probably
Elon Musk.
God, no.
Elon Musk buys TikTok. No, he doesn't.
He can't afford it.
He fucked himself.
George Soros.
I kind of think the government would facilitate a deal. Maybe they would like give them a tax break or some shit on that. Like, you know, for having to pay.
Yeah.
Like, I can't see a situation in which TikTok is actually like not going to be accessible for a long period of time at all.
Yeah. Like, so is that what you've been telling people who probably like manically ask you, is TikTok going to get banned?
I tell people I don't think it will get banned, but I also don't think TikTok is like that safe to use. That's the other thing. It's like, I feel a little weird about it. If people want to learn more, you can listen to the Morning Announcements Extra Extra episode. I did a ton of research on this, and there's like so much more information on how their algorithm works and what they're taking from us and what their plans are. So if you're interested in this, check out the Extra Extra episode.
Totally.
But listen to it on your headphones so that your phone can't hear you listening to it.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I swear to fucking God, it's creepy as hell. Like, I will just be near some, I don't like it. I don't like it, but I'm still on. I mean, I read today that the average user uses it for 90 minutes a day. And it's like, I know I probably do, but not continuously. It's just so long to be on it.
I've started taking advantage of my phone listening to me where I will, if I want some information I can't find, I'll actually ask it now. And I'll be like, show me an ad for this.
Yeah, it's just long game and Siri. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, okay, you're listening. I can't find this thing. Please tell me when you get a chance.
Whenever you get a chance. All right, let's move on to our next. You heard it here second. Did you all hear about this Gwyneth Paltrow trial? Oh, man.
Yeah. This what is a weird story.
So weird. So Gwyneth Paltrow, I definitely copy and pasted. I can tell when I copy and paste because I put actress Gwyneth Paltrow as if we needed to clarify. Although, did you see the clip where her lawyer pronounced her name wrong?
No, yeah, I missed that one.
He pronounced it like Paltrow. And then I think he knew it. He was just nervous. But she was like giving him a look like, also, why does she tell me why she looks like Jeffrey Dahmer in all the pictures?
I don't know.
She doesn't eat.
And the glasses look crazy.
Fading, but she has the big glasses on. I saw the clip of him being like, there's a new camera. Like, my client doesn't want the cameras on her. And then basically being like, this is a filmed courtroom. Like, this just is what it is. It's not about the fact that she's Gwyneth Paltrow or like everything's being filmed in the courtroom.
Right. It's not TMZ. So. This belongs to the state.
Yeah.
Specifically,
exactly.
The state of Utah, where Gwyneth Paltrow has appeared in a courtroom for a civil trial after a retired optometrist accused her of crashing into him while skiing. Oh, I love pop culture. I mean, I hope this man's, it sounds like he's having a rough time. But he originally sought $3 million, but is now seeking $300,000. And this allegedly happened on the Bunny Hill at an upscale Utah resort in, I think it was September 2016. 76-year-old Terry Sanderson says that Gwyneth crashed into him on that beginner's course because he said she was looking behind her and she just wasn't looking ahead and she crashed into him. He says that she skied away and he then went to the hospital with broken ribs and a concussion.
I believe it. Well, I'm just going to say right now, I totally believe that Gwyneth Paltrow would barrel down
they
the
have
Bunny
two
Hill,
totally opposite
hit someone,
stories.
And ski away. That just tracks for me.
Where are the helmets? That's my question. Why are you not wearing a fucking helmet? Mm-hmm. Idiots. I mean, maybe they were. Maybe I'm wrong. But it's if you have brain damage that he seems to, where was he wearing a helmet?
No, okay. I don't think so. Because I would have said that like she knocked her take is that actually she says that he crashed into her from behind. She was like, I was just skiing. I was just chilling. And then suddenly there were skis behind me and that everyone sort of paused and she made sure that he was okay.
Yeah, because she kept skiing. That's why he was behind her then. Because she didn't stop.
How do you know it was her if she didn't stop, though?
That's the thing. I think she was like in it. So she's like, I made sure he was okay. He waved off ski patrol. I left. And then I think he realized.
He waved off ski patrol.
That's what she says. And then she's like, and then I think he realized who I was and that I was famous and he's trying to exploit my wealth and fame to make money. But he's like, no, you crashed into me. And he says he broke multiple ribs and he says he has permanent brain damage. One of his friends took the stand to say, apparently this guy was like there the day of the crash. And he said before the crash, Terry was an outgoing, charming, gregarious person. But after the crash, he's no longer charming.
That's not, I mean, maybe. Did he like lose executive function from it? What
it's just
medical
such a,
records
it's
say?
Just like of all the adjectives you could have said, he's no longer this. Just well, that's the thing. I of all the articles I read, there has not been. I think there's going to be more like medical testimony. I don't know if anyone's disputing that he has the injuries that he claims that he does. Gwyneth Paltrow just says this isn't my fault, and also like so she's actually suing him back. She's countersuing him, saying that like this. I don't know if it's specifically for defamation, but she's suing him for her attorney fees, which have to be considerable, even though this guy can't say her name, and like $1 in damages to make a statement. But something like weird here is like she's also having her. I know it's a civil trial, but she's having her both her kids and her husband testify. Her kids are 16 and 18. I don't know. I'm just gonna pay $300,000. Yeah, but I'm just gonna pay $300,000 so my kids don't have to testify. I mean, I know it's not a gnarly criminal thing, but I don't know. Maybe just as a family, they're like, we have to exonerate our mother. She didn't crash into the old man on the Bunny Hill. But this has raised some things about like. There are actually regulations here. Like, are there not, like, there's ski law.
There's not law. It's more like etiquette. Okay. Like, there's no law. I mean, it's – okay, the fact that he waved off ski patrol, not great – not a great look, because if he had had a record from the ski patrol, like, that's why they're there, you know? Yeah. That wasn't great. It does sort of support the idea that he realized who she was and then, like, thought about it. It's really just, like, rules. Like, if it says slow down, like, you should slow down, but, like, you're not liable for anything, you know? It's just like you're supposed to like mind the people around you. I think it's a little weird that this happened on the Bunny Hill, which is generally pretty safe.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, how fast was she going that this man got so injured? And that's sort of what her lawyers are also saying, is that like he's 76 and this happened 7 years ago. So this happened in 2016. And I don't know if he was 76 then or now, actually, that could be important, but they're just sort of like, he's aging and I didn't do this.
It's also like he could be aging. He fell, but like you just fell. It happened. That's what happens when you go skiing. Like you kind of are saying, I am liable for this risk because I am on a mountain on sticks. Like I'm 76, right? Like you're deciding that you're going to do that. Like, I don't think, here's the thing.
If it were just like a random
woman, I don't think he'd be suing them, to be honest with you. Like I don't think that would be happening.
Right. But do we think she crashed into him?
I think she probably crashed into him.
But that's a risk you take.
But people, that happens. Jordana crashed into me. Like, it's like it happens.
Sue her.
Yeah, just like it happens.
Sue her for the business.
Yeah, right.
I do think it would be wild to be like on a bunny hill, you get crashed into, you look up Gwyneth Paltrow skiing away, and you know that it's and you're like, what the fuck just happened?
But how would you even see? It's like the back of her head. Like maybe he saw
and
her
she was
earlier.
Wearing goggles. It's unclear. Right. I think there is a story to it. Like I think he found out after, because then later that day he was like texting his daughters kind of like humorously about it. But like, yeah, skiing's dangerous. I don't
this
fuck with skiing.
This very injured man was joking on text with his daughters.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Maybe it's possible, like, he saw that person drive away. She was wearing a recognizable coat. And then later on, she realized, oh, that's Gwyneth Paltrow, the woman who hit me.
Yeah, Jade fell out of her.
On the way down. Yeah, I mean, I don't see this taking, to be honest with you.
Yeah, like, it's just so crazy that it's like, it's going to be 8 days with all of this testimony. This is just not like this is not what I expected from Gwyneth after the I only eat bone broth in a 24-hour period. This is also why I believe it is like, bitch probably was not conscious. She probably fainted and then ran into this man.
She's delirious 99.9% of the day because she doesn't eat any calories.
Delirious.
She goes in a hot sauna for an hour.
How does she even have like the calories to make it up the mountain? I mean,
exactly.
Maybe that's why she's sticking to the bunny hill, because she's just like,
right, right. She just takes a sip of bone broth after every run.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Well, poor Terry. I certainly think we all wish the best for him.
Yeah.
Oh,
and I mean,
God.
Her kids.
Like he was injured.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish him the best from his injury. The thing is, like, you could fall down your steps and, like, hit your head and your anything. This could happen.
Life is dangerous. Like, if this happened to me, it would never occur to me to.
Skiing is a dangerous sport. Like there's certain things that you're like, unless the resort, like their lift is falling apart and then you get injured or like something they did. But like that's just the nature of the sport. Like there's other people.
Yeah.
Don't
right.
be
it's
like me and
sometimes
stop in the
you
middle.
Get into a car accident and it's nobody's fault. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, this feels like rich people's chicanery. Like, they're just like...
Well, didn't you say in the newsletter that, like, one of his things, like, look, if he has brain damage, that's terrible. But he did say in the trial that he can no longer enjoy wine tastings, which isn't the most sympathetic. Oh, his doctor said that.
Yeah, it was like they had two doctors testify yesterday and, like, look at the x-rays, I guess, that were taken after the injury. And they did say, like, yeah, he got fucked up from this. But one of the doctors was like, he can't enjoy it. It's very much like the quote where, like, he used to be charming and active, and now he's no longer charming. It was like,
he might just be a grump.
His wine tasting receptors.
He used to be able to enjoy things like wine tastings, and now he cannot. And I'm like, what?
Why can't you go to wine tastings anymore? Can he eat
regular food? He just can't. He can't taste because Gwyneth pushed him over.
But what about regular food?
I don't even know if they were
saying
that
we
just can't taste it.
I think they were just trying to add color to how, you know, profoundly this is impacted.
That is not good
but
color.
But you know what? And Gwyneth's argument is, why taste anything?
Why? Exactly. And you're her like, argument is, you're welcome, bitch.
Yeah. I can't enjoy wine tastings either, so no one should.
Nobody should. Ugh. All right. Now it's time for a very, very quick Republican You Not, because this is worth mentioning. I feel like in a few weeks, we're going to have to launch a new segment, which will have the sound effect, Ron, stop, because Ron DeSantis is up again. And, you know, we all know his future. He's going to be part of our lives for the next year and a half at least. Ron, can you not expand your dumb don't say gay bill all the way up to 12th grade? The Florida Board of Education will consider a new proposal that states the following: for grades 4 through 12, instruction on gender orientation or gender identity is prohibited unless such instruction is either expressly required by for state academic standards or is part of a reproductive health care course or health lesson, for which a student's parents have the option to have his or her student not attend. So this levels up from the original Don't Say Gay, because that only went up to third grade. This goes up to 12th grade because the governor's office says there is, quote, no reason for instruction on sexual orientation or gender identity to be part of K through 12 education. I just don't know how do you not talk about gender identity to 18-year-olds?
Well, I think what's really going to happen in practice is that they're just going to talk about everything as if it's completely heteronormative. And it's going to be that you can't talk about anything outside of heteronormativity and boy-girl binary genders. Like, I think that's really what will happen. But this was clearly the plan the whole time. He basically said it at one point, I think, that this was like always going to be about – because the first you introduce Don't Say Gay and it's like, we can't have children like knowing about sex. Like, but then his plan was always to do this and to desensitize people to it.
Well, because what age are kids like who are minors most likely to start like questioning their gender identity, expressing their sexual orientation? It's really high school. I mean, there are kids who are like,
I think middle school.
Elementary school trans. And middle school. Like, who go through elementary school and transition. Like, that definitely.
Certainly realize that they're gay.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, that's. I'm not trying to say that, like, elementary and middle schoolers don't, but it's, like, the most likely age group to actually start the process of coming out are these teenagers. And so, another kind of effect, and one of the intended effects of this, is that, like, you bar these students off from finding like a sympathetic teacher or the school cannot engage in that process. And there are so many queer kids who like weren't accepted at home, but do find that acceptance in their school with a special teacher or guidance counselor or whatever. And what this law is basically doing is being like, we're not going to allow teenagers to like find that kind of mentorship within their school. And so like, yeah, hopefully they've got supportive parents, because it's literally illegal for them to have a teacher that will talk to them about what they're going through or whatever. I mean, I also wonder, like, if you have a non-binary kid that wants to use different pronouns, is the teacher not supposed to like engage with that?
Especially I think the ambiguity is the point, because it allows people to be like, no, don't say gay. It's actually very specific. But when you're a teacher trying to keep your job, you're not going to take any chances.
Yeah. Right. I think what they're trying to create is sort of like an 80s, 90s awareness of among children of sexuality. Because like, I'm thinking back to when, you know, I was in elementary school in like 1995, let's say. At that time, like, it wasn't – everything was very heteronormative. The assumption was that you were straight and that you were the gender you presented as. I think – I mean, obviously, over time, that everything has become, like, more acceptable, and you learn about that there's, like, these other ways, you know, or that you might be that right. You maybe had not had the word or the language for it. But I think what they're trying to do is make everything so default to boy, girl, heterosexual – you know, sex within marriage, that they don't have an outlet for people, like, that it becomes difficult for people to come out, that they can't have like a nice experience, you know, where they're accepted, which is what things, from my understanding, that is kind of like what high school is like now. Like, it's not really that big of a deal to come out. I mean, I'm sure it's a huge deal, but it's not like – you're the only one in your, in your whole school kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, Elise and I are back for our final segment. Are men okay?
Not me.
Goat's milk latte drinking.
M&M's will not be satisfied until every last cartoon character is unappealing.
Avocado toast eating insiders elite.
That does not lend credibility to your argument. It makes you look mean.
Today, I want to check in on Republican Representative John Joyce of Pennsylvania. This is a representative to the United States Congress, and John is bugging out. This man, he loves milk, and he's raising the alarm about imposters coming for our kids. Let's listen. We're going to play it.
Bones, muscle, brain, and vital organs all rely on products like whole milk for healthy development. The whole milk that cannot be replicated by inadequate imitations that are found in plants and in nuts. Our students deserve better than these fraudulent products, and we cannot allow almonds or soy to be passed off as dairy to American families. It is time to ensure that whole milk is once again available in every school cafeteria. It is time to pass legislation like the Dairy Pride Act and the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act that will support families, support the growth of students, and support our dairy farmers. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I yield.
Okay, so we have a sentiment and we have some melodrama. The beginning of that to me sounds like the trailer for Yellow Jackets. Organs, bones. So this man is he's discussing the Dairy Pride Act, and just, you know, I don't know that much about him, but I do know he has an R next to his name, and they're not really that supportive of pride, but I guess until it comes to dairy. But he is really, really unhappy with milk substitutes. I have never heard anyone this worked up about milk substitutes.
It is very funny to, like, be visibly angry about almond milk and, like, the presence of almond milk and whatever. You know what? If you're a Republican or any senator from a dairy state, fine. Yeah, represent the interests of dairy farmers in the Senate. That's your right. That's probably why this, what they sent you there partially to do. The dairy industry is actually fucked up, but whatever.
That's, yeah, we're going to get to that.
But to really take this, like, angry and threatened posture is very, very funny. When, like, there also is a world where he's just like, we have a dairy industry that's important in this country. Here are some health benefits of drinking milk. I think that a lot of people are lactose intolerant now, and you can get those things from other things. But whatever. To make the case in such an impassioned way is so funny.
It is. It seems like there's something else going on. This is a bipartisan bill, the Dairy Pride Act, prohibiting milk alternatives or plant-based products to be marketed or misbranded in a similar way to regular dairy products. So lawmakers say that current FDA rules allow plant-based products to use terms like milk, cheese, and yogurt incorrectly. Depending on your grocery store, like, the almond milk will either be with the milk or it'll be in, like, a special plant-based section. Again, like, I know when I go to, like, yeah, like, sometimes at the grocery store, they'll put the dairy-free cream cheese in a dairy-free section, and sometimes it's by the regular cream cheese. And basically, lawmakers are like, that ain't right. These things need to be totally segregated. The plant-based options, because the plant-based options, basically, their concern is that they don't have the same nutritional benefits. I mean, like, my almond milk, it definitely doesn't have the same nutritional benefits as milk. I'm not a milk bitch. I'm not drinking glasses of milk. That's not my
maybe like long term or whatever, but the immediate risk that drinking a glass of milk poses to, like, my ability to go through my day is way
more. Why aren't we considered in this? But dairy farmers, this is sort of interesting because, like, I think I support our nation's farmers and think that they need more help. But just something sort of interesting here is dairy farmers are like, this needs to happen because we have a marketing problem. Like, all of these plant-based alternatives from all of these, like, startup-y cool companies have such a marketing edge, and people think their stuff is milk, and we, like, can't get ahead of that. And the Dairy Pride Act is like, you know, we're going to try to make that so they can't say milk and cheese so that we can equal the playing field. And I'm just thinking that if Republicans want to equal the playing field and make lunches better for kids in America, there is so much they could do.
Well, yeah. Also, it's just funny because, like, when Michelle Obama was like, you should eat a vegetable, they were like, don't tell me anything. You can't tell me what to eat. get out of here. Like, it's like so crazy. And so it's like just very funny to be like, but now we're going to make it so that everyone has to drink milk.
Yeah. Joyce also said,
I was just wondering, like, do they want, like, almond milk will still be able to call itself almond milk. So I think they don't.
I think it's like we will always call it almond milk. Like the jig is up.
Yeah, but even it might already, start saying like,
yeah, like almond beverage.
Almond beverage.
Yeah. Like, and some of them already do. I feel like some already say like oat beverage.
Yeah.
But it's funny because also, like, in our intro to this segment, we do have a clip of Senator John Kennedy complaining about goat's milk latte drinking millennials. So I'm not really sure what they want from us. Again, it's like, this is all great. Kids need milk to grow. The intense demonization of plant-based alternatives does make me wonder if this man is okay. I think he should probably talk about this. I think he should probably discuss whether this is some misplaced rage. One note here is that Joyce said at another event that only milks from, this is a quote from Representative Joyce, from a lactating mammal should be at the dairy counters.
So then goat's milk would be okay.
Goat's milk would be fine. Right. So I think there's some ideological inconsistencies here. It's just funny because I cut this part of Republican You Not, but they also want to like make you specify in Florida schools how sperm works. And it's like, you guys are the ones that say the dirtiest shit. Stop. Be quiet.
Very weird.
It's very weird.
Very weird.
Very weird. I don't think they're okay. I don't think they are okay. That is our show for now. We will be back Monday. Fingers crossed. There is a big headline to discuss, but we will be here to discuss it whenever it comes. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman. And for Sammy Sage and Elise Morales, this is the Betches Up Podcast. Bye. The Betches Up Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales Pico, and Rebecca Sasmacat. Editing by Rebecca Sasmacat. Social media by Amanda Duberman and Bridget Swartz. Be sure to follow at Betches_sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails at suppod@betches.com.
Betches.